The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth.
You're listening to Truth Infusion. And now for your host, David Markham.
Well, I have to admit to you that I am excited about what God is doing through Truth Infusion Ministries. I can tell you, some of you may know the history behind Truth Infusion Ministries, but let me give you just a brief synopsis of this. I spent some 12 years or so ministering in a church, a local body in the greater Texarkana area. Church leader there, they had elders over church ministry areas, and I did that for years there. I was the worship leader. I know you might know me from teaching on the radio, but I do a whole lot of singing and worship leading also. It's a big part of my ministry, and love doing that. Love leading worship, seeing people freed from the chains and the bounds, the burdens in their life, rather, and seeing worship spill out of them, especially people that never have done it or haven't done that in a long time. I love to see just burdens and melt off of people as they begin to experience the Holy Spirit in worship. So music is a big part of my ministry history. I love to teach and preach the gospel also, but I get to do both. And I was doing that at this local church, and then God began to I was in a car driving along by myself, and God began to speak to me and said, I've called you to something new, called you to do something new and different, something you've never done before. And Jennifer and I stepped out on faith and began Truth Infusion Ministries. And when we did, I knew that I had in my heart a burden and a desire to see the Church of Jesus Christ revitalized and revived, because our church today as a whole is, the big word is apostate. We've walked away from the truth. We've walked away from the teaching of the cross of Jesus Christ and the fact that it is our everything. Not just our salvation, but every aspect of our Christian life pours through the sacrifice on Calvary. And the church has left that teaching. Most of its congregants and lay people don't even know what you're talking about when you say it. And my heart is burdened for the condition of the blinded, as we hear in Laodicean letter, as we're about to look into that, this naked, blind, wretched body that is the body of Christ, especially in America, where we have everything so convenient and everything so instantaneous, and we're so easily entertained that we've lost sight of the truth. We've lost our first love a long time ago, and we're becoming increasingly scripturally and spiritually ignorant. And my heart began to go out for the church to see it be what Christ paid for it, died for it to be. And so I stepped out of an area in a church that I was comfortable and successful. And I'm not talking about money there. I never drew a paycheck, but successful spiritually in ministry. Stepped out of that to do something brand new, and I really didn't know exactly what that was going to be. However, God, over this last year and 3 months, has taken this upstart ministry and has applied His plan and power to it. And my friends, let me tell you something. I sit and look at where we are some 15 months later and shake my head in amazement. I never realized that He had plans for me to be on the radio. I'm not a radio personality. I've never done this before. I have no training with this. I don't know what I'm doing for the most part. I just followed God's will with an opportunity that was more or less brought to me and dropped in my lap by the Holy Spirit. I remember when the radio station called me and said, would you be interested in doing a 30-minute show? And my initial response was no. And that's what I said, no, because I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know what it entailed. I hung up, and as I cruised along in my car for about 10 more miles, God began to really give me a whooping. In East Texas, we have whoopings. You know, if we don't get in trouble for being parents that whoop our kids, we try to not spoil our children by sparing the rod. Oh, I'm going to get calls now. No, but yeah, I whoop my kids when they deserve it because I love them. That's why. God began to whoop me because the Bible says he chastens those that he loves. And I called the radio station back and said, I don't know how to do it. I'm not sure how this is going to work, but yes, I will. Since then, that was not even a year ago. That was last summer. Since then, we've gone from that one station. I'm now ministering through 5 stations. One of them is in Indiana. 2 of them are in Texas. 1 is in Arkansas. One of the ones in Texas that's a new one for us spills over into a big part of Louisiana. The coverage area picks up a potential listenership of over 1.5 million. And I can't believe that. That's crazy to me to think of the opportunity to minister here. Our show, this show that you're listening to now, will be played 9 times in this week over 5 different stations covering 4 states, or at least parts of 4 states, potentially over 1.5 million listeners, not to mention the internet, not to mention streaming from the website all over the world. And I can look behind the scenes of our internet site and tell you, we have regular visitors on the site from Russia, from Indonesia, from Great Britain, from the islands of the sea. I cannot believe this, guys. And then in the last couple of weeks, after the first of the year, my schedule for ministry events in different churches is just booming. I can't tell you. I'm so busy on the weekends in churches, revivals, worship events, conferences, teaching opportunities. I don't know what to say. I'm blown away by it. And it's only by the hand and grace and ability that God has given. I feel so inept and I feel like there's so many people that are better equipped than me. And sometimes I stand behind a pulpit in a church I'm visiting in and I think, God, what are you thinking? What are you thinking with using me this way? There's so many people better at this than I am. But he's choosing to, and I'm very humbled by it. And I'm glad you're here with us and you're doing this with me. Thank you for those that support the ministry as we are really still in our beginning phases. For those that support in prayer, I love you. I thank you. For those that support monetarily, because it costs us money to minister through these radio stations, and you're spreading your love and care to us through your giving. Thank you for being sensitive to the Lord in those areas. I thank you. And I thank the Lord. I want to pray real quick and thank God personally for this. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about the study of the Laodicean letter. Heavenly Father, I'm just amazed by what you're doing through me in this ministry and blessing so many people. I'm so just blown away by it that you would choose to reach down and use a nobody, Lord, and I know I can't do this on my own, and I need you to continue to help me. And God, I promise you I'll do my best with whatever opportunities you give. Lord, I pray right now that as we speak your words of life to those listening, that you would apply the Spirit to make it increase and to make it go from education to revelation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, guys, last November, I told you a couple of weeks ago, I began to study the Word a little bit, and God began to deal with me about a teaching on the Laodicean letter. Now, you found that in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22, as John is really the dictator for Jesus Christ himself, and Jesus begins to tell him, I want you to write this word from me to this particular church, and John would write the letter and sign it, Jesus Christ's name on it. We'll see that in a little bit, and then he would seal it and send it to that particular church. 7 churches received a letter from Jesus. The last one was the church of Laodicea. Now, I had a friend of mine, when I began to deal with this teaching and God began to put it on my heart, a friend of mine, a good friend of mine named Landon, I was sharing with him that day just the general premise behind this teaching. I had not begun to put legs on it or flesh it out. I was just had read over it and began to was meditating on it. I started sharing with him my thoughts. And he referred to me this song, particular song that came to mind when I was explaining to him. And the song is written by a man named Steve Camp. Now, it was written and recorded several years ago. But the name of the song is Living in Laodicea. And I listened to it that day. I downloaded it to my phone. He was right on. I was impressed by the message and the words. It was exactly what was on my heart, exactly in line with what God had placed in my spirit. And so I decided then that I would seek the Lord about this message, about writing it in the blog for Truth Infusion, about broadcasting it to you through the radio, about preaching it. I can see some major sermons that are going to be born out of this. A few days later, now that was, again, if you remember what I said a couple weeks ago, this was a Wednesday, the Wednesday after Election Day in November, that all of this that I just explained took place. And that morning I was in Bible study with the Lord and then talked with Landon, and he told me about this song that same morning. Now, go forward just a few more days in November, a few days later, rather. I began writing the introduction for this teaching series. Now, that was in November. Okay, come to January now. I'm just giving you a timeline. Flash forward to January. My family and I, we returned home from a church service. We are relaxing around the house. And in fact, what we had been doing is my wife, two little kids were playing. My wife and my 16-year-old son, Colin, we had joined together in prayer that Sunday after church over some issues that we were concerned about. We spent some time praying together. It was a wonderful time with the Lord, and especially with my kid. I love doing that. And at that point, though, God reminded me of this Steve Camp song. It had been, like I said, December, January, a couple of months since I'd really put any time and effort into this teaching. I kind of got away from it because of the holidays. And but I remembered after we had that prayer moment that, you know, Sunday in January, the Steve Camp song, and it somehow related to what we had been talking and praying about. So I wanted to play it for Jennifer and my wife, and for Colin, my son. But before I did that, I felt like, well, let me give them some background on this song so that it makes sense. So we went to the Word. We opened up our Bibles to Revelation chapter 3, and I skimmed through verses 14 through 22. We read it, and I taught them just briefly about the Laodicean letter, and really my point was to set up the song. So I'm skimming through this teaching real quick, saying, okay, here's what the song's about. Let me show you where it is in the Word. We were talking about it, and I began to realize as I'm talking that God was doing something different. He was outlining for me exactly how He wanted this taught. He was giving me the outline, and it was coming out of my mouth as I was teaching them. I quickly and unexpectedly received this, and you know, that's just like God. If you wait on Him and don't rush into stuff on your own, He will outline it for you and show you His direction and His plan. So at that point, I knew it was time for me to really tie into this teaching, and that's when I really started this. So let me tell you how the outline is going to go for the next few weeks. If I continue on, and this is what God's plan and will seems to be, this is how we're going to do it. It's going to really be divided into three parts. And part one I've entitled The Laodicean Letter. Okay, so it's beginning today, mainly on the other side of the break. We're going to start looking at the letter itself, the scripture itself, chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. And I will attempt, with the Holy Spirit guiding, start pulling apart this these amazing verses and teaching the deeper meaning of this passage. And we're going to key in on the church in Laodicea in John's day. Now, since this is really called an exegesis, where we're taking sometimes words and sometimes phrases at a time, this will take a little while to do. We're going to go through these verses and make sure we get the full understanding. So, When you come back, I want to tell you about the rest of this outline, and then we're going to get into studying the Laodicean letter in 1 minute and 50 seconds. Come on back.
Truth Seekers, this is Jennifer. I wanted to take a moment to remind you of something. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I guess the children's song is true. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Okay, until next time, you keep seeking the truth.
I have a little assignment for you. I want you to go to truthinfusion.com. If you look on the homepage, you'll see the area where you can put your information in to receive our monthly newsletter. Now, this will give you all the recent updates and the things going on in the ministry so that you'll know what to pray for and what to expect in the upcoming days and weeks from Truth Infusion. God bless you. Until next time, you keep seeking the truth. All right, welcome back, Truth Seekers. Glad you are with me. We are beginning to get into the study of the Laodicean letter, and which is the first part of a greater teaching that God has given me entitled Living in Laodicea. Now, I just realized while we were at break that I have spent now 2.5 weeks just introducing this letter, so this better be good. You know, sometimes I get to talking, and you know where that leads. I just pray that everything that I say is what God wants me to say, and I don't try to rush through these teachings. I try to follow the leading of the Spirit. So I was quickly giving you the outline of what we're going to be doing. The first part of this teaching is entitled The Laodicean Letter, which we will start here in just a few minutes, and it really is an exegesis of the Scripture that we're pointing to. Revelations 3:14-22 is the Laodicean letter, the letter to the church in Laodicea, in Asia, in John's day. It was a functioning church that John sent the letter to from Jesus himself. I cannot, in good conscience, just blow through this part. This is the most important part of the whole deal as we look at the Scripture itself. But I don't want it to be overwhelming, so we're not going to go, with too much information at one time. I'm going to take it in sections, and we're going to start that today in just a few minutes. The second part of the teaching I've entitled, or God's given me this outline, entitled the second part, The Laodicean Age. I told you last week that the seven letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation spell out even a greater teaching than just the individual letters themselves. Because when you line the deeper spiritual meaning of the letters up, you actually lay out a timeline that traces through the church history from the church in Acts to the church of 2013, where we are today. So if you lay these seven letters out, one after another, in the order that they were given in the Scripture, you will also see the church ages as it progressed through time to today. And I told you last week that the Laodicean letter is actually representative of the modern day church that we live in right now. So if we study this letter, we are going to see what Jesus not only said to the church back then, but what he's saying to us as a church body today. Vastly important when you think about it in that respect. We can look at this letter and actually it can become a letter to the church of today because we are living in the age of the Laodicean church. Does that make sense? So in part two, we're going to apply the truths that we've discussed in part one with a different kind of focal point, because we're going to focus not on the church of 2,000 years ago, but we're going to focus on the church of today. And now that you know that, you're going to be able to see this as we go through the Laodicean letter and talk about 2,000 years ago. You're going to be able to relate and parallel that with 2013. And that's going to be part two. The Laodicean church is a scriptural representation of the modern day church. So it should be an eye-opening experience for us to see that. Then there's part three where we're really get this down to you and I. We're going to call part three the Laodicean life. So in this part, we're going to examine, without going too far into the scripture itself, in the Laodicean letter, at closer to the end, around verse 20, John speaks for Christ as he's writing this. Jesus addresses the individual in the church in Laodicea, not the church itself, not the, you know, the deacon board, not the praise team. He talks to the individual congregant, the individual member there, and he says some amazing things. So we're going to take a look at what Jesus is saying to the individual that lived in the Laodicean day, and that will relate to the individual that lives in the church today. So, you know, logically, what I'm telling you is the Laodicean life that we'll study for part three relates directly to you and I today. We're going to see what that individual that John wrote about in this letter is all about, and we'll take a look at how that relates to you and I. And at that point in this study, this teaching ought to become personal. Ought to become very personal. So wonderful. Now that's it. I'm excited about what we're going to do. I love the Word of God, guys. I love it. I love it. It is so amazing. I can't describe with words the power of the Holy Word. And I just ask that God, your anointing will be on us and obvious through the words that we're going to be placing forward, the ideas that you've given. And Lord, I pray that you will also help these listeners to be receptive to this teaching. And not my ramblings, but you know, to you, Lord, the ministering words of the Holy Spirit, that's what I want. Okay, so let's do this. Let's spend some time introducing part one, living in Laodicea, the Laodicean letter. There's an old saying that kind of goes like this. You've heard this. The saying is, sometimes the truth hurts. You've heard that. You've probably said it, used it. And I'm sure you agree with it. I'm sure personal experience tells you that that's true. And this cliche has rang true in all of our lives. Truth is an interesting thing to me. I want you to think about this. Truth as an entity is very interesting because it deals with you and I as individuals differently depending on our position to it. So our position, our standing as it regards the truth determines how the truth affects us. Let me tell you what I mean. If you are standing in the truth, if you are living a life that holds up the truth, that if you're living out the truth, then the truth will, in return, support, protect, and strengthen you, because obviously the truth is God's word. The truth is God's character. The truth is Jesus Christ. He told us in the book of John, I am the truth. So if you are in right position and right standing with the truth, then the truth will maintain, support, protect, strengthen, embolden your walk, bless you. But on the other hand, now a lot of folks need to understand. You say life's been going crazy, falling apart. I'm at my wit's end. Let me pose this to you. If we begin to live, operate in opposition to the truth, if we ignore the truth, or if we begin to bend the truth, shade the truth, use the truth untruthfully, if you will, then the truth becomes a sword. Hebrews 4:12, I believe. Hebrews chapter 4, I think it's verse 12, says this. The truth becomes a sword that cuts us deeply. So, I don't know what you think. I don't know what it's like where you come from. But I tend to believe. I had a college professor that would say, I contend. And then he would tell us what he thought. Most of the time, nobody really cared in that when we were college students, just ready for the weekend to get here. But he would say, I contend. So I'm going to tell you like he would say it. I contend that a slashing sword hurts. All right, I don't think that's too far-fetched. I think you would say that too. Listen to this. If you're standing in opposition to the truth, the truth will cut and divide and separate. Muscle from bone, the word says. The evil from the truth, it will separate it, especially if you're a child of God, because like I said before, he chastens those that he loves. It means he disciplines. He whoops us when we step out of line. Now, the letter to the church in Laodicea bears out this illustration that I just gave you perfectly. And we're going to read it. The letter to the Laodicean church is a stern warning. And in a nutshell, this is the warning. The sword of truth is coming and it is going to hurt. It's going to hurt. Okay. When we consider the seven letters, and we're looking at the seventh of the seven, the previous six letters, the ones that came before the Laodicean letter, to the churches in Asia, John, for the most part, had encouraging words for them. Some of them received a lot of encouraging words, that, you know, being the church of Ephesus, the church of Philadelphia. Some of them had encouraging words, but they were mingled with rebuke and correction. Some of the churches Jesus highly praised. Others were not so highly acknowledged. But they all had redeeming characteristics pointed out by Christ. The first six letters is what I'm talking about. The seventh letter, however, sadly, the Laodicean letter could not boast of this in any way, actually. Like I said last week, the name Laodicea means judgment. That's exactly what the Laodicean letter was. It was a judgment from Christ. The truth hurts. The judgment of Christ, the sword of truth, it isn't always easy, but it's necessary because the rebuke of Christ, if we listen and rearrange our lives in repentance, will bring us to relationship that is right. The Laodicean church was rebuked but had an opportunity to turn. We're going to talk about it next week. And until then, you go read the Laodicean letter and you keep seeking the truth.
Thank you for listening to Truth Infusion. Please visit Truth Infusion Ministries on the web at truthinfusion.com. Once again, that's truthinfusion.com. We also would like to hear from our listeners. Email us truthinfusion@gmail.com.